Howdy, 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 howdy. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Yes, even you, Punisher. Happy Tuesday. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Hot Seat. Ladies and gentlemen, I will be your host, Hot Seat Todd. And holy crap, I got a lot of stuff to talk about. Like, so much stuff. And as you see, the title is episode 203. The military whistleblower. So Pete Hegseth and a lot of the Department of War are getting a whole lot of lip because they are threatening UCMJ action and punishment, Article 15 punishment, for anybody, any member of the military that runs to a congressman. And whine, cries, complains, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, it's called the chain of command. And I love it that all of these leftist lunatic retards that all of a sudden they're like during the Trump administration, all of a sudden they're military experts and ain't never served in the military in a day in their lives. And two, all of a sudden they're Bible experts. Like, they Google, give me a Bible verse on immigration. And, you know, as you know, as a Christian, you know, you can't just take one verse out of context. You got to read the one before it, the one after it, and the context of who the writer was talking to. So in the military, guys, this is all I can tell you. Civilian life, military life, two different lives, okay? What, completely different. And yeah, exactly. T-Bird 99, everything works differently in the military. Literally everything. And I talked about it this morning on Dear America when we was talking about triage. Medical triage in the military and wartime is night and day different from your emergency room. You know, if you go into the emergency room and, I mean, you got a gunshot wound to your chest and you're bleeding out all over the place, you're going to the front of the line. Like, I mean, you're going straight back to the doctor, yada, yada, yada. I'm sorry, but I was a medic in the Army. If I'm on the battlefield and you got a big hole in your chest, I'm sorry. I love you, but I'm going to step over you and get to a person that I can actually save. That's just the way the military works. We're just very different. We're cut from a different cloth, and we live by a different set of rules. But again, Krankenstein brothers, JoJo from Jersey, and the rest of the retards, they don't really understand that. I find it interesting that even the people that are in Congress that served in the military, it's like, I don't know what branch of service you were in or what rules you live by, but hey, you know, they ain't the same rules that I grew up in. Yeah, Punisher. Take a knee and drink water. 100%. 100%. So, you know, I was talking to a buddy of mine yesterday, and even a couple other people mentioned this to me, like, Todd, man, your countdown is really long. It's like 15 minutes. Let me explain why I did the countdown the way I did. Like, my initial reason was to get an extra 15 minutes onto my, you know, what counts for me for my minutes for Rumble Studios. But I have to be honest with you. Like, I put three Brandon Lake worship songs in there because for some of you guys, that first 15 minutes is all the, you know, is all the Jesus that some people get in the whole day. So I'm glad that I can offer that. I'm going to give you 15 minutes of worship music to get your mind right before I come on here and just ruin it. So that's the method behind the madness right now. Hey, Kane 500, welcome the newest member of the Mafia. Thank you for following the channel. I really appreciate it. So having said all that, listen, guys, before we get started, make sure to hit that like button. Make sure to hit the repost button. Also, there is a little dollar sign underneath the chat. Hey, you throw some money out, ask a question, make a statement or whatever, we'll talk about it. It's not required at all. Also, there's a subscribe button down there. It's a little word subscribe with a red circle around it. Subscribe to the channel, costs you $5 a month. And again, not required, but much appreciated. And if you want to give some subscriptions, I won't be mad at you either. So, hey. And I see a lot of people in the chat saying, hey, I love the yeah, that one. That one right there, S. Wilcox. That one. I love you guys. Man, I'm telling you. I love just one big happy family, with the exception of Punisher. I'm happy to be hanging out with you guys every day. I really am. But I hope you like the new format. I actually have something special for you today that I'm going to do every Tuesday. Created a couple little things for you, so we'll see. But, you know, last night I was frustrated and angry. I got to say this. I know y'all hate football. I know most of y'all hate sports and stuff like that. But I was watching the Cowboys just get decimated last night by the 2-5 Cardinals with a backup quarterback, I might add. And I got to say, Troy Aikman said something absolutely hilarious. So Jerry Jones is the owner of the Cowboys, and he's, you know, the defense is atrocious. Like, Dallas has the number one offense in the NFL, but has the worst defense in the NFL. And that Jerry was asked the question, what are you going to do about it? Well, I've already made a trade. I'm going to make a couple more trades to make the defense better. And I love Troy Aikman. You know, I love Troy Aikman. He said, yeah, two or three players ain't going to make a difference with this crappy defense. And he wasn't lying. Let's see here. Let's do this. Bam! Pull this up here. From Heather, thank you. Send some love. Hit the like button or Todd will haunt your dreams. I might do it if I have that ability. I might. Thank you, Heather. Very nice. And TPH14 gifted a subscription. Thank you. And you're welcome, Erica. Erica, don't know, but you're welcome. Micah Parsons is a stud. You're welcome. And yes, the Cowboys will always suck because of Jerry Jones. There is no doubt about that. So let's get on with the show. Before we actually jump in the hot seat itself, as I told you yesterday, we're going to talk about a few things. Yes, about this long on the election. But I really want to bring something to your attention when it comes to Mama Dama Dama Dami and his 2% increase. I ran some numbers because he's only going to increase taxes 2% on people who make $1 million or more. I'm just going to leave it to the chat. I ran the numbers, did the math, all of it for you. And if you are a married individual in New York City and you make $1 million a year under Mama Dama Dama Dami's 2% increase in the tax policy of New York that's already there, you have any idea how much money you would pay in taxes? I mean, I'm going to get to it later in the show, but throw your guesses up there because I promise you, it's worse than I thought it was going to. And when people leave New York in a mass migration, we're going to have even more problems. And I have two issues with this election in New York. That I hope people are thinking about because it does have to do with the midterms and the 2028 presidential election. But let's get on with the show, shall we? So I don't know per se who this ball-headed Peckerwood is, but wow, like wow, 35,000, not even close. But yeah, just listen to this guy, listen to his opinion. And so he's asked his opinion on, so what does a woman who's not in a relationship focus their attention to? What does a man who's not in a relationship focus their attention on? This is amazing. I really wanted to get Kendra's opinion on this, but hey, here we go. Listen to this idiot.
When women don't have a relationship, they pour that energy into their friends and their work. When a man doesn't have a relationship, he pours it into conspiracy theory, porn, and misogyny.
So, hold up. Let me read the notes up here. So, according to this moron, I don't even know who this is. When women are not in a relationship, they pour their energy into friends, into work. But a man, when he's not in a relationship, he pours it into conspiracy theories, porn addiction, and misogyny. I must be doing it right. I must have been doing it wrong for a while. Which I was only single for about a year after my first, maybe less than a year after my first divorce. And I must have been doing it wrong because I really didn't get into conspiracy theories besides the movie with Mel Gibson. Really never really had a major issue with pornography and misogyny. I don't know. All I know how to do is to be a man. That's it. And call it misogynist if you want to. But hey, you know. To each his own. I poured my time into my career, my children, and, you know, paying bills. That's what I did. So I can't speak for you dirty men that are single and apparently just riddled with conspiracy theories and and Pornhub. I'm shame on you, according to this epic retard. But anyway, all right. So I haven't, you know, out of respect. Let me say this. Y'all know my opinion on everything that Candace Owens. I promise I'm not going to talk about Candace Long. I promise. I know y'all hate it. I'm actually getting sick of it myself. Like, out of respect for Graham, I haven't really gone extremely hard in the paint on Candace, and I'm not going to, because at this point, I got to be real, from telling military members to get dishonorably discharged to all the with Charlie, I'm just over it. Like, I really am. I'm over it. And I don't want to lose you guys, because I know y'all are tired of hearing about it. But this particular statement that she made right here, like, man, I just, somebody, she needs help. Like, seriously, somebody needs to reach out to her and give her a damn, like, Erica needs to give her a hug or something. Because, like, this right here, I got nothing. Just watch.
This entire American culture, which has grown quite perverse, it's a culture of vices that we are suffering from today, a culture that is filled with pornography, gambling, transgenderism, radical feminism, modern psychology, pharmaceuticals. If you research these topics historically, you will recognize that they were brought to and fought for on our shores by people like Emma Goldman on feminism, Sigmund Freud, the father of modern psychology, the gambling empire is where the Adelson Empire wealth comes from, as are many pharmaceuticals like the Sackler family. These people have their names on buildings in Tel Aviv, the owners of Purdue Pharma, the architects of the opioid epidemic, pornography. Our boy Al Goldstein took happy credit for that, right? He's the one who notoriously said the only reason that Jews are in pornography is that we think Christ sucks, Catholicism sucks, we don't believe in authoritarianism. Pornography becomes a way of defiling Christian culture.
Okay, and I see in the chat already, okay? I see in the chat, and I'm not going to get into a debate, but I'm just going to pull this right here up real quick, and I'm not gonna single you out. And understand, I love you. I love you. I do. Let me find it. Hang on. Here we go, right here. Kay West, gosh, I love you, Todd. I love you, too. But I stand with Candace on this one. She's not lying in this clip at all. So, okay, well, let's just analyze this for a second. And this goes back to just straight, because I believe in personal responsibility and accountability, okay? And this is just another one of those things. Like, according to this, you know what? The hell with it. I'm going to say it. Psychopath, all of our American vices, all of them, whether it be pharmaceuticals, porn, gambling, psychiatry, transgender, and drugs, all of it is because of the Jews. Every bit of it. Like, if you watch porn, blame the Jews. If you're addicted to drugs, blame the Jews. If you're a transgender, blame the Jews, because they're the ones that brought it to this country. Holy hell. Personal accountability, people. All right, I don't care how it got here. Like, I don't see a whole bunch of teenagers in the 90s, in the early 80s and 90s, suing Hugh Hefner for carpal tunnel syndrome because of Playboy. You see what I'm saying? Personal accountability. Like, you cannot blame anybody for your vices. You can't. All right? It's like, I'm gonna blame the drug dealer for selling me meth, which I don't even know what meth looks like. I couldn't tell you. The only drug I've ever seen in my life is marijuana. But it's just ridiculous. I agree, Kay. White coat, hug herself in a padded room, 100%. So, I mean, while her facts, I mean, they're accurate, but blaming American vices for, like, come on. Like, listen, guys, everything that's wrong with America can't be Israel's fault. Like, it's just not possible. Lord have me. It's like I said this morning on Dear America. Like, that is the equivalent of somebody hating you during the Biden administration because Biden is president. Because the Biden's administration was corrupt. It was horrible. awful. It damn near destroyed this country. But I didn't blame you, the American, for the retard that was in the White House. I mean, that's the equivalent. I mean, come on. Like, Lord have mercy. Golly, Lord. So, let's recap really quick. So, take this out of my mouth. Y'all remember yesterday I talked about the hot seat. On the hot seat was you ladies, okay? Because of the article that was co-authored on the New York Post by Elizabeth Eddy. Well, I found out something new today that I did not know, and we're carried a little step further. So I saw this statement from the National Women's Soccer League. And again, I've watched women's soccer as much as I've watched men's tennis. That would be none. Zero. I don't care nothing about soccer. It's the most boring sport on the planet to watch. There's only one game in the history of soccerdom that I've actually enjoyed, and it was a high school game that my son played in when he was a senior, and there was like 4 red cards and 6 yellow cards, and they were just beating the piss out of everybody, fighting. That was entertaining. I mean, that was entertaining. The rest of it, sport sucks. I'm sorry. It's in the middle of wintertime. You're wearing shorts. It's a stupid sport. It's stupid. But anyway, if you love it, cool, great. Still can't beat football, and I'm not calling it football, so deal with it. But I saw this statement here, and we'll dive into the weeds for just a second. Let me make this a little bigger for you. So this is a statement from the National Women's Soccer League. Barbara Banda is a top player in the National Women's Soccer League. Barbara's selection to the Pro World, whatever, a distinction voted on exclusively by her peers from across the global game, is a testament to her extraordinary talent, relentless work ethic, and impact on our sport and our league. Her contributions to the Orlando Pride and soccer have been transformative. Any harassment or hateful attacks toward Barbara are unacceptable and have no place in our sport, our league, or our communities. We stand unequivocally with Barbara and with every player. Okay, and so apparently this individual plays for the Orlando Pride and is a superb teammate, player, role model, and we're proud that she represents Orlando Pride. Our fans and community, both in Orlando and the national stage, she continues to shine, including most recently being named to her second consecutive World 11 award, exclusively selected by her fellow peers across the globe. We look forward to continuing to celebrate her and her future accolades and support her journey. Okay, so as I said yesterday, this is you know, Barbara. I'm beyond grateful and humbled to be once again named one out of 11 players that has been picked by our fellow players for the 2025 Pro Women's World 11. Well, there's a little thing about old Barbara that I honestly didn't know. And so this is Barbara. Say hello to Barbara. This is Barbara. Yeah. She's a man playing in a woman's sport. So now it all kind of comes to a head. I mean, I'm just going to leave this picture up here. So hold up. So yeah, this is Barbara right here. You know, dude, straight. I mean, yeah, Brandon. That's what I'm going to call her. Brandon. So Brandon plays women's soccer. Like, I had no idea that. Yeah. And boom, there it is right there. There it is. That's a man, baby. That's a man. So now it all kind of comes to head. And for all of the, like, you know, again, I have to go back. Like I said yesterday, thank you, Jersey, for 10 subscriptions being gifted. You're awesome, dude. Thank you very much for that. So I have to go back again and go, where are the feminists at? You know, where's Megan Rapinoe? You want to get paid like a man? Well, this was a all-star selection. This dude just got selected to a woman's all-star team. Where is the aggravation? Where is it? I'm sorry. Because here's the deal. If it would have been a white dude being picked for a black all-stars, holy piss. We would be... Man, there'd be pitchforks like they was hunting Frankenstein's freaking monster. You hear me? Like, they'd be burning stuff down. I mean, they'd be wearing vagina hats on the corner. They all kind of crazy stuff going on right there. Pitiful. Like, but hey, again, it is just soccer. You know, I mean, it is soccer. So whatever. Comey's in trouble. So Comey, who is under indictment right now, he has tried to get his indictment thrown out. And basically the prosecutor said, no, instead of throwing out your indictment, here's what we're going to do. We're going to drop some more evidence. This brother is going to jail. And this is directly from Benny Johnson. Says James Comey tried to get his indictment thrown out only for the prosecutors to drop even more explosive evidence. A handwritten note from Comey reveals he knew all about the scheme behind the Russia collusion hoax. HRC, all right, here it is right there, right here. All right. HRC, Hillary Rodham Clinton plans to tie Trump. All right, it was dated 9/20/2016, you know, before the election in 2016. Hello. So again, Bondi, do your freaking job. Do your job. Like, this has got to happen. Like, this dude needs to be in an orange jumpsuit, sharing a cell with Bubba, Christopher Ray, Obama, the Clintons, all of them. They all need to be sharing it. Put them all in one cell together. You know, I'm just saying, put them all together and toss one broken pool stick in the middle and say, last one gets to leave. That's just, you know, it's my advice. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we had the 14th vote, and of course, they didn't vote for it. Really quick.
The yeas are 54, the nays are 44. 3/5 of the Senate duly chosen and sworn, and not having voted in the affirmative, the motion is not agreed to.
So 54 votes, 6 shy of 60. 14th time, you know good and hell well that the Democrats were not going to open the government before today's election. Wasn't going to happen. All right, wasn't going to happen. And I have to admit, folks, I'm telling you, I was wrong. I was bad wrong. I really, really thought I would have bet a paycheck that the Democrats would have voted to reopen the government before EBT got shut off. I was wrong. I guess this is the hill they're willing to die on, apparently. So let's jump in really quick to this election before we get to the actual hot seat itself. It's a mess, guys. It is a complete and total mess. Elon, I understand the New York ballot has always crayons are getting to your brain. Yeah, duh. That's old news. Apparently the ballots have always looked this retarded for New York, but I don't get this. Like, Mama Dami's on it one, two, twice. Como's way down here. I don't understand this. So the Zoran, Democratic, Republican, conservative, I don't even know who Irene Estrada, must be Tony's cousin, but then he's under working families, and the Republican is under protect animals, safe and afford. Like, I mean, is this supposed to be like a crayon ballot for New Yorkers? Like, no disrespect to you guys, but are y'all that retarded in New York that, oh, I want to protect animals, I'm going to collect this guy? I don't even know what fight and deliver means. And who the hell decided that Jim Walden was the candidate for integrity? Like, yeah, Pantera, perfect. Looks like a cafeteria lunch calendar. Yeah, it does. But, I mean, safe and affordable. Quality of life. Fight and deliver. This absolutely makes no sense. Like, whatsoever. And, of course, no ID required. None whatsoever. It says your mayoral candidate bingo card as, I don't even know how to say that name, Fukuf, says in the chat. So I got nothing. But going back to her one more time, according to Candace, so Paula said, take note of people on this app that didn't take time to talk about the elections tomorrow. Remember who actually works hard to help us win. Candace replied, I'm not voting until we learn the truth about who killed Charlie. Literally do not care how anybody feels about that. Not lifting one finger. And I just want to hammer this point home that you're supposed to be Charlie Kirk's friend, okay? And I don't really know a whole lot about Charlie's personal opinions. I've only spoken with Charlie one time, and it was for like 10 seconds. So I didn't know the guy. All right, I didn't know him personally. But here's what I do know. I do know that saying Charlie's name and I'm not voting in the same sentence, you don't know shit about Charlie. Because that was his entire career. Like, that was Turning Point's entire thing, was getting people to vote. Me and Kendra, shit, we flew all the way to Arizona and spent an entire week knocking on strangers' doors for Charlie to get people to vote. And Candace Owens is literally going to say, I'm not lifting a finger to vote until we find out who killed Charlie. That's like, I can't even make that make sense. You should know better. The one thing that Charlie would say from the grave, from heaven, right now, is it is your responsibility as every single American. It is your American responsibility to vote. To vote. So she's an idiot. I mean, exactly, R. Graham. I lift a finger for the middle one, 100%. I lift it. And that's it. No more Candace. I promise. No more. But, so here are the things about the New York election that scare the hell out of me, okay? I'm not really worried about New York City because, I mean, it's a shithole anyway. All right, mayor, no mayor, doesn't matter. It's a shithole anyway. It's been run in the ground for many, many more years. What's four more years of it being run in the ground? All right, but I'll show you why. And it's not because Mama Dama Dami's popular that he's going to win. That ain't it. It's because the Republicans are retards. 100% retards. And this is it right here. Plain and simple. And I completely didn't even think about it until earlier today. Why is this idiot right here running? All right, Mr. Airborne Ranger looking old guy with the... Who the hell wears a freaking beret in a picture? Are you Bob Ross? Like, I don't care if you were prior military. So am I. I don't wear a beret. Hell, I didn't like to wear one when I was in. But if this jackass wasn't running, Cuomo would probably win this thing. So what's the point? Like, what's the point? You pull him out, you add that 16% to Cuomo right here, and Mama Dama Dama Dami doesn't get elected. So what's the point? You're just taking, like, literally the Republican Party in New York just gave the election to Mama Dami. Because, look, you didn't have a chance in hell at winning. Like, you didn't. You didn't have a shot. So congratulations to the GOP in New York. Like, you should have talked this guy out of dropping out. He had no shot. None. Whatsoever. All right, that's like expecting Sadie, my golden doodle, to win a Greyhound race. That's not going to happen. Like, totally retarded. Totally. But this is what really, really worries me about New York City moving forward. Okay, so remember this morning on Dear America, we were talking that Polymarket said that 1 million people in New York City were going to leave New York City if Mama Dami gets elected. Okay, so here is the 2020 map from the presidential election. All right, and this is what I'm worried about as far as the midterms and all that stuff. The MAGA breakup and the crack in MAGA's armor and people shooting at each other, you know, all this. That I don't think that's going to destroy the midterms as much as this might, okay? Because if you look at the 2020 election map, everybody that left California, you know, they go into Arizona, they go into New Mexico, they go into Texas, they go into Utah, they go into Colorado, and they vote blue. Okay, I've seen it happen. All right, me and Kendra spent an entire week in Arizona in November on the ground trying to get Trump Arizona. Obviously, it didn't work out. But we literally heard the same thing over and over and over from people in Arizona. Everybody told us the same story. I grew up in this state. I live in this state. And this state has been red forever. But all these people who fled California, they came here and they still vote Democrat. And it's ruined our state. Completely ruined our state. I mean, we heard that 10, 15 times while we were there. And so my worry is New York up here, they're going to run. And they're going to, 1 million people leave. Well, there's Ohio, West Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Florida. All right. And if that depends on which direction they go, if they go left or right. I mean, because they could, because North Carolina's purple anyway. All right. They could flip North Carolina. They could flip West Virginia. They could flip Ohio. They could flip South. I mean, probably not going to flip South Carolina. Probably not going to flip Florida. But the damn sure going to take some seats in the midterms. If 1 million people leave New York City and vote blue, which they will do. Don't tell me they won't, because their hard R retarded. So, I mean, that is my biggest fear, is that the people that flee states like Minnesota because of Dearborn and, you know, I mean, Michigan, it's already blue, but you got Indiana and Ohio right underneath you. So all these folks that are doing this mass exodus, moving to these red states, voting blue, that is what's going to ruin the country right there. That's what's going to flip the midterms. That's what's going to flip the presidential election in 2028, if it does flip. That's what I'm worried about. But, I mean, it still stands right now. I mean, none of the polls have closed. None of the election places have closed yet. So we won't know. But the numbers are still the same. They got Mamadami by 14.3, Spanberger by 10, and Cheryl by 3. So as it stands right now, looks like they're fixing to get a clean sweep of all of it. I got nothing. But, hey, it is what it is. It's what you voted for. And these are the people that are going out there to vote. All right. This is a lady that voted for Spambot or Spamburger or whatever the hell her name is. But I mean, these are the people that are voting, and it scares the piss out of me.
You're a Spamburger supporter. What about her agenda did you really like?
I'm really interested in seeing how we can improve women's rights. We need to get those back reinstated.
All right. Well, thank you.
It's always abortion. Oh, I'm voting for her because I need to be able to kill my baby legally. I mean, I'm voting for Spamberger because I need to be able to murder my baby legally. Legally murder my child. That's the only thing that matters. Not taxes. All right. Not taxes. Not election, election integrity. You know, not building roads and bridges. Not the school system. Not, you know, law and order. None of that. Nope. Nope, the only reason I'm voting is because I need to be able to murder children. And this is like a 50-year-old woman. Like, how many kids are you having, you tard? But again, this is just, God, this is pitiful. It's absolutely, absolutely pitiful. And here is, you know, Mamadami. Apparently, as Jersey talked about today, all these bomb threats that are happening in New Jersey that have all been debunked and all trash and it's not true and stuff like that. Well, Mamadami didn't spend 2 seconds. You know who he's blaming for the bomb threats. He's like, yeah, it's Trump's fault. Trump's doing it. It's 100% Trump's fault.
Incredibly concerning. And I think that it is an illustration of the attacks we're seeing on our democracy. Sometimes they're blatant and explicit in the manner of these bomb threats. And we have to understand this as part of the general approach the Trump administration has taken to trying to intimidate voters with baseless allegations of voter fraud as a means of trying to repress the voice of Americans across this country.
I don't know if he's going to get that question again today, but the general approach the Trump administration has taken to try and intimidate voters, unless we heard him incorrectly, What in the world is he talking about?
He is serving up a Kamala-sized word salad, but he's using kale instead of romaine. It's just a slightly better finessed verbiage than we were given with her. This is emptiness. It means nothing. What he's doing is deflecting because he doesn't have an answer for this because he is not prepared if, God forbid, something like 9/11 happens again. Just think about that. Were you in New York on 9/11? Do you remember what happened to this city? Do you remember what happened to this country? Do you remember who was mayor and what was needed from that office? Could this person really provide that? I mean, it scares the hell out of me. I hope everyone has a plan with their kids if, God forbid, something happens.
Got it.
Incredibly.
I mean, I'm just amazed. Like, bro, listen, we've already established here. I mean, I don't really know how much more evidence that we have to give you to prove to you that your party, all right, you terrorist, your party is the party of violence, okay? You know why? Because we have jobs. And just to put it bluntly, we got better shit to do than to threaten to blow up poll systems or polling places. We got better stuff to do. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have some retards that are not capable of this, because we do. Everybody's got them. Everybody. I mean, every political party, every race, all 72 genders that are out there, every group of people in the world have their nutbags. Every one of them. Okay? But this, I can guarantee you, ain't no person that's voting red threatened a New Jersey polling place. Not nair and a one. All right, not one. So get the hell out of here. And so here we go. We're going back to his policy, his money, what he's going to spend his money on. And finally, somebody asked him, well, how are you going to pay for all this free stuff? And he actually provides somewhat of an answer.
Question affordability in this city, living here is top of everyone's mind. It has gotten obscenely expensive to live here, to do anything here. So you're proposing free grocery stores, free buses, $30 minimum wage, all of which sounds incredible.
Cheaper groceries, free groceries.
Excuse me, cheaper groceries. But what people want to know is, great, I would love all those things.
Yeah,
how do you pay for it? Who's going to end up footing the bill for those programs?
So I'll answer that question by first explaining some of the endorsements that Andrew Cuomo has received. Elon Musk's endorsement is one of the most expensive endorsements that Andrew Cuomo has ever gotten, because it cost him and the state of New York $959 million in tax breaks that he gave Elon Musk years ago when he was the governor of this state. That's actually more money than it would cost to make every bus free in New York City. So I've said clearly that I believe we should tax the top 1% an additional 2%, that's New Yorkers making $1 million or more a year, and have the most profitable corporations pay the same tax rate they do at the top tier in New Jersey, what they would actually pay here in New York. These things together would pay for the entirety of our economic agenda and start to Trump-proof our city. Because as you've said, the endorsements that Andrew Cuomo has got, and this morning he started it by going on Fox and Friends, we're talking about Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and Stephen Miller. These are the architects in many ways of the crisis of authoritarianism that New Yorkers are facing. And Andrew Cuomo is...
Okay. All right. So let's just talk about, and again, as I've said on Dear America, and as I've said here, okay, I promise I'm not that smart. I'm definitely not good at math. I suck at math. I'm awful. But so he's saying this is how he's going to pay for all this free stuff to Trump-proof New York City. All right, you do realize Donald Trump built most of New York City's skyline. Like, but okay, let's just stick that in our pocket and just keep that there for a minute. So everybody in New York City that's making over $1 million is going to get an extra 2% tax increase, and that's going to help pay for all of his free stuff. All right, well, what's going to happen, retard, when those people that are making millions of dollars every year don't want that, and they leave, and they take their businesses to Florida, to Texas, to states that don't have state taxes? What happens when that happens? Who's going to pay for the shit then? Is it just not going to exist, or are you going to lower the bar? All right, because then you're going to have two issues. Because regardless how much you hate the top 10% of this country, understand this. The top 10% of earners in this country pay 72% of the federal taxes in this country. And you're asking them to do more? To do more. All right, so what happens to the little people the middle class and the lower class when the upper echelon who provide all of these jobs say, screw you, Mama Dami, I'm taking my business to Florida, or I'm taking my business to Tennessee or Alabama or Texas or somewhere else. Then you're going to have a whole bunch of homeless people riding a free bus, you moron. That's not even like economics 101. That's just redneck common sense. Like, holy crap. Just that's redneck common sense. And so I did the math for you. All right, I did the math. All right, so I went to his stupid little calculator and I pulled it up myself. If you make $1 million a year and you're married, all right, married, you make $1 million a year. According to the 2% increase, you are going to pay $538,000 in taxes. Out of $1 million, you're going to end up paying more taxes than you make. Who's going to do that? Who is going to go, you know what? That homeless guy down the street deserves a free bus ride. I'll pay half my shit in taxes. I'll be glad to. Not going to happen. $538,000 out of $1 million is going to taxes. And that's federal, state, local, all of it. All of it. Whereas, I did a little bit of extra math for you, and if you make $1 million and you live in New York City, well, if you move to Florida, under the same principle, you're only paying, where's my number? $300,000, which is still a lot, but $357,000. So here I am. Here I am. And I'm nowhere near this tax bracket, by the way. I'm not even close to it. My name's Todd. I live in Manhattan. I live in New York City. I employ 200-300 people in my small business. I made $1 million last year. So do I want to move to Florida and pay $357,000 in taxes, or do I want to stay in New York and pay $538,000? Yeah, thank you. Easy decision. Easy decision. Save $200,000 a year? Yeah, sure. Buy New York. And then my question is, you million gazillionaires, when you leave, vote red, because it was the dipshittiest Democrat that did that to you. Okay, that made you move, that made you flee your home, that gave all of your money to folks that don't want to work, that have no ambition, and and a mayoral candidate that has no damn clue what the American dream really means. And that is the massive problem with all of these retarded Democrats, is they say the American dream, but they leave out motivation, work ethic, and it's labor. You have to work to get the American dream. It's not free. You don't walk across a damn stage in high school, grab a diploma, and then they go, hey, you left your American dream on stage. Take it with you. It don't work like that. It's never worked like that at all. You have to work for what you get. And I'm sorry, people. I'm here to tell you right now, New Jersey, New York, all of these major cities, I'm not busting my ass as an American citizen. I'm not busting my ass to pay triple in taxes what somebody else who hasn't earned what I've earned, because everything I got, I've earned. I'm not giving my stuff away. Kiss my ass. It's not going to happen. All right, it's not. And I don't have sympathy. None. You don't have what I have? You should have worked as hard as I did. Okay, because color don't mean nothing. Education don't mean nothing. It's all, you can be the smartest person on the planet, but if you have no ambition, no work ethic, and you have no pride in what you do, then your ass is going to be on EBT and welfare forever. All right, some of the stupidest people I've met on this planet have more money than they will know what to do with because they have work ethic. I love my boys, all of my children, with all my heart. And I can honestly sit here and look at all of you in the eyes and tell you, me and Kendra, we're batting 1,000, all right? We've got a mechanical engineer. We've got the oldest is a mechanical engineer making really good money. Works 70, 80 hours a week. puts it down at a meal, kills it. Our next to the oldest son, Tucker, lives in Atlanta, drives heavy equipment, makes a freaking killing. The one under him works at a company called Valmet. He makes more money than me and Kendra both do, all right? And he just bought a home. The kid under him, Christian, my oldest son, he is a service tech for a HVAC company. Didn't go to school for it. Learned to do it on the fly, and he's one of the best service techs at my father's company. The one under him, Tyler, works for my dad's company right now as a service tech at the local mill. Makes a killing. The baby owns, Topher, owns his own business. Owns his own business. He has about $60,000 worth of equipment that he has paid for. Hard work, work ethic, taking pride in what you do. That's the American dream. That's the American dream. And I'm sorry to S. Wilcox, who pissed in Todd's Cheerios. I'm not angry. I can't look at some of these people in this country seriously. I can't take you seriously. Like, I can't. Do y'all know how pitiful it is that right now we literally have, you know what, I'm going to find it real quick. I'm just going to show you. And I saw this on the Twitterverse the other day, and I was like, you know what? It's pretty damn pitiful that we even have a Twitter account that is literally called EBT of TikTok. That's all you need to know about the status of America right now, is there is a Twitter account that has video after 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 video and after video of people that are literally just bitching about not getting their EBT. Like, I that's why we haven't been invaded by aliens. Okay, because they're coming. They get close enough to like look at Twitter and go, oh, hell no, we're going back. Nope, nope, not stopping there. Don't think so. Don't think so. I ain't mad at you. I ain't mad at you at all. I'd keep going too. But I mean, it's just, it's so freaking pitiful. And Elon said this, and I'm just going to stick with it and echo it. It's plain and simple here, folks. Just so we're clear. Illegals are voting, illegals are receiving benefits, and illegals are changing the congressional maps. I know people read this and go, yeah, but let me translate that a little bit further and literally put it in crayon for you. In California, you've got Proposition 50 right now to redistrict the map the way, you know, Nucifer wants to redistrict it. Who the hell do you think's voting for that? Just people, American citizens? No. You have people that were not born in this country, that came into this country illegally, that are getting to decide on the American congressional district maps in the state of California that they're not even supposed to be legally allowed to vote for. But they're deciding it. And this, welcome to 2025. This is where we are. Like, I can't... Yeah, well, okay. I guess you're right. Somebody did piss in my Cheerios this morning. But, so, I have a new thing, like I told you, before we get in the hot seat, I have a new thing that that we're going to start doing every Tuesday. And, here you go. Let's get it started.
If you want war with the United States of America, there's one thing I can promise you, so help me God. Someone else will raise your sons and daughters.
So this is what we're going to be doing every Tuesday. For those of you who don't know, I am a retiree in the United States Army. And today in military history, I'm going to go back on whatever day we're going to do it every Tuesday. And we're going to have just a little discussion on something important that happened today in the United States military history. So for my first one, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to a young lady named Mary Edwards Walker. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of this young lady, but she was the first recipient of the medal, first and only woman to ever receive the Medal of Honor. So Mary Walker was born on November the 26th, 1832 in New York. In all of the United States history, there's only been one woman to receive the Medal of Honor, and it's Mary Edwards Walker. As a surgeon, a woman's rights advocate, an abolitionist, and a spy, Walker became the first female U.S. Army surgeon during the Civil War. Her legacy has been celebrated across the country. In 2012, her hometown unveiled a 900-pound bronze statue in her honor. So when the Civil War began in 1861, she wanted to join the Union's efforts. She went to Washington, but was not allowed to serve as a medical officer because she was a woman. She decided to serve still as an unpaid volunteer surgeon at the U.S. Patent Office Hospital in Washington. The Army had no female surgeons, so Walker was only allowed to practice as a nurse in a temporary hospital set up around the Capitol. In 1862, she moved to Virginia and started treating wounded soldiers near the front lines at Fredericksburg and Chattanooga. In 1863, her request to practice as a surgeon was finally accepted. Here, y'all can't even see those words, so let me read it to you like this. During her work as a surgeon in the war, she often crossed battle lines to care for soldiers and civilians. In April of 1864, she was actually captured by Confederate troops as a spy and was held as a prisoner of war for 4 months at Castle Thunder near Richmond. In September of 1864, she was contracted as the assistant surgeon of the Ohio 52nd Infantry Division during the remainder of the Civil War. She served at the Louisville Women's Prison Hospital and at an orphan asylum in Clarksville, Tennessee. At the war's conclusion in 1865, she was awarded the Medal of Honor for Meritorious Service by President Andrew Johnson. She was never granted a military pension since she was never officially commissioned, but you know, she wrote a bunch of books and stuff like that. In 1916, though, her Medal of Honor was taken away and after, you know, her eligibility was reviewed. But at the age of 86, she died on February 21st of 1919. And in 77, President Jimmy Carter legally restored her Medal of Honor as it should be. So that is your day, November the fourth in American history, the first female and only female Medal of Honor winner, Miss Mary Edwards Walker. So before we actually jump into the hot seat, I do want to talk to you guys really quick about something that me and Graham have talked about several times. It is the Zippix nicotine-infused toothpicks. Guys, listen, I struggle with nicotine. Now, nicotine is not bad for you, okay? Let me just tell you, it is not bad for you. I use these things right here, these little Velo pouches, to get my nicotine. I started dipping Copenhagen snuff when I was 12 years old. It was a complete and total accident. I was hunting with my father. We was coming out of the woods, and I literally looked at Spartacus, you know, because Dad dipped Copenhagen. And, you know, a young man wanting to be just like his dad at 12 years old, I said, "Pop, give me, you know, hey, can I get a dip?" And being the good parent that my father is, in his mind, he said, "I'm going to give him this Copenhagen. He's going to put it in his mouth. He's going to throw up everywhere. And he's going to throw up everywhere, and he's never going to want this again." Well, it didn't kind of happen that way. I put it in my mouth, spit in the bottle. Dad kept, you know, he's driving, looking at me, smiling, looking at me. After about 15 minutes, he goes, "Boy, you all right?" And I said, I looked at him and I went, "Yeah, I'm good, Pop. How are you?" And he looked at me. Next words were, "Shit, don't tell your mom." And ever since then, get to Iraq in 2003 and no Copenhagen to be found. So I started smoking Iraqi cigarettes, which was horrible. It was basically the equivalent of a non-filtered Marlboro Red. And here we are. Now I quit vaping and started doing these nicotine pouches. But these Zippic toothpicks, when it comes to tobacco nicotine addiction, it's two things. Number one, of course, is the nicotine, but it's also things being in your mouth, you know, whether it's a cigarette or whether it's a dip or whether it's a vape or whatever. That's why this Zippix company makes these toothpicks, and I've tried them. Kendra's actually got them for me, and they do work, okay? They do work. It's just they're made of wood and, you know, chewing on that stuff. Yeah. This episode brought to you by Zippix nicotine-infused toothpicks, a satisfying, discreet, and great-tasting way to curb cravings anytime, anywhere. Perfect for flights, events, restaurants, or anywhere smoking, vaping, or banned. Zippix satisfies both nicotine cravings and hand-to-hand mouth or hand-to-mouth habit with 6 long-lasting flavors in 2-milligram or 3-milligram strength. Proudly made right here in the USA and one of the most cost-effective options out there. Not into nicotine? Try our caffeine and B12 infused toothpicks as well. So all you got to do is go to zippixtoothpicks.com, make your order, and get 10% off your first order with code CREATOR. You can't do this free. You have to be 21 or older to do it. So go to zippixtoothpicks.com. The link will be in the description. Make sure to use code CREATOR and save you 10%. So I'm telling you, guys, get off the vape, get off the cigarettes, get off the Copenhagen, the whatever you do, Copenhagen, Grizzly, Kodiak, whatever it is. Get off of it. Either get these pouches or get these toothpicks and save yourself some serious damage. So do it, do it, do it, do it, and do it. And to Alicia Victoria, yes, dipping is a big time military thing. When I joined the military, I'd already had a tobacco addiction, but I left with a tobacco, a caffeine, alcohol, and a cussing addiction. So that is a military thing for sure. Let's see. Johnny Marine, really quick. Let's see here. Todd, you should have me and maybe Knuckles. Nuke on next Tuesday, since you'll be covering the Marine Corps birthday, right? Tuesday is Veterans Day, so I have the day off. I might do that. I might reach out to you guys and have y'all jump on with me. We might just do it. Might celebrate Veterans Day together. I'm down for that. But having said all that, guys, what do y'all say that really quick we jump in the hot seat? Okay, so in the hot seat today is the military whistleblower. Now, it's not one particular person. It's literally any of you retards that wear a uniform to work every single day or 1 week in a month, and you think that the chain of command doesn't apply to you. That if you just get an order that you think you shouldn't follow, that you could just pick up the phone and call your local congressman and just bitch about it, and maybe they'll do something about it. It doesn't work that way, okay? It doesn't work that way, and thank God we have Pete Hegseth as the Secretary of War that is fixing this issue. Again, to all of you leftist libtards that are all of a sudden military experts, pay attention, okay? Because I'm finna learn you some stuff, all right? I'm finna learn you some stuff. So let's start off with the lovely, lovely, my favorite, Secretary of War, ladies and gentlemen. Get over here. Here we go.
No more frivolous complaints. No more anonymous complaints. No more repeat complainants. No more smearing reputations. No more endless waiting. No more legal limbo. No more sidetracking careers. No more walking on eggshells.
No more. We're done with all of it. Every bit of it. No more stupid complaints. And I just got to tell you, I really am loving literally everything that Pete is doing with the DOD. As I told y'all yesterday, I have had in my military career, I have literally had frivolous, I almost lost my career several times due to EO complaints, frivolous, fake, falsitudes, BS, sexual harassment complaint that was complete and total garbage and BS. Like, I actually had a mother call a congressman on my behalf saying that it was total garbage. I had a friend, close, personal friend that actually was active duty Army, and his career got ended. Dishonorable discharge from the United States Army for sexual assault, and it wasn't true. At 3 years after my friend was discharged, the young lady that accused him of it, that ultimately ended his career, went to jail because she told a couple of her buddies, hey, you remember when I lied and said that recruiter touched me and did this to me? Yeah, ha ha ha, really got him, didn't I? Well, they went right to the sheriff and told him, and that girl got arrested. Did my friend get his career back? No. But that's the kind of damage this stuff can have, okay? Especially if you're a white, male, Christian, straight person. You have no power back in the day in the United States military. You are guilty, period. There is no innocent till proven guilty. No, you're guilty. And even if you get found innocent, the damage has already been done to your career. Already been done. So, way to go, Pete Hegseth. Keep going. Please keep going. All right. But so this stuff started coming out, and I'm loving what he's saying. All right. So Pete says the press does not run the Pentagon. The people do. The press is no longer allowed to roam the halls of a secure facility, wear a badge, follow the rules, or go your ass home. It's really that simple. And the headline reads, Department of War implements new guidelines for media access at the Pentagon. Here's the policy in a nutshell. Wear a credential. It's really not that freaking hard to understand. Every single military base in the country, every single one, you have to show ID, insurance, all kind of stuff. And if you don't get sponsored by somebody in the military, if you're not in the military, guess what? Your ass can't get on. Why should the Pentagon be any different? This is literally where every one of our generals, where all of our plans are being made, where our budget is getting approved, where money's getting approved, okay? Where everything that controls the entire Department of War across the United States and the world, Craig, across the world, happens right there at that little Pentagon-shaped building. Why is the Pentagon any different than Fort Bragg or Fort Campbell or Fort Hood? Why is it any different? It shouldn't be at all. Wear your badge or just don't go. How about them apples? It's really that simple, all right? All they're asking you to do is to get a little lanyard with a press badge so I know who you are and you know who I am. If I don't want to talk to you, I don't have to, all right? It's that simple. But leave it. Yeah, F word alert. I almost messed up, Trent. I did. Trent and Todd, are we going to the Carolina Country Music Festival in Myrtle Beach in June? Anything we should do while there or avoid or advice? I will be there for a week within a few extra days to explore. No, man, Myrtle Beach is pretty nice. I've only been like one or two times, but I've got a buddy who lives in North Carolina that goes there all the time, and he loves it. So, yeah, go. Have a good time. Have a good time. So here's what I want to talk about right here for the most part, for the rest of the show. All right, it's this right here. So Hegseth bars military officials from discussing drug boat strikes with Congress without prior approval. It is not that hard to understand this. And for those of you that are not in the military, that you're not married to somebody in the military, and you don't understand the concept of the rules in the military, well, guess what? Lean in, pay attention, and I'll explain it to you. Because this idiot right here obviously doesn't understand. This is completely illegal. Is it, retard? Is it really? Okay, and then you got this tard right here. According to Section 10 of the United States Code 1034, this is illegal. Is it? Are you sure? Okay, well, let's just look at this. All right, so here is the U.S. Code 1034. Now, it is titled as Protected Communications Prohibition of Retaliatory Personnel Actions. Now, right here. Okay. No person may restrict a member of the armed forces in communicating with a member of Congress or an inspector general. And you read that one line, like the rest of these idiots do, you read that one line in United States Code and go, well, maybe he's right. Here's the kicker. They don't read the line underneath the line, okay? Same thing for the Bible experts, okay? You didn't read the book. You read one verse, all right? Here it is, right here. Paragraph one, which is the paragraph, the sentence I just wrote, does not apply to a communication that is unlawful, okay? Paragraph one does not apply to a communication that is unlawful. Translation. If you are given a lawful order by your commander, you can't go to Congress because it's lawful. They tell you to do it, you do it. Okay? It's that simple. All right? Deploying to Chicago, lawful. Blowing up a Venezuelan drug boat, lawful. I don't give a shit what your opinion is. I could care less. All right, opinions are like balloon knots. Everybody's got one, and they stink. Okay? If you are given a lawful order as a member of the United States military, you have one responsibility after the order is given. Do it. That's it. Do it. Do it. Now, if your commander says, hey, there's a guy that lives at 2212 8th Avenue. I need you to go burn his house down. Okay, that's unlawful. Go, by all means, tell somebody. Tell somebody. All right, but, hey, I need you to get your uniform. I need you to pack your shit because we're going to D.C. That's lawful. Chicago, that's lawful. All right, killing people who have been labeled a foreign terrorist organization. So, Section 10 of the United States Code doesn't apply, you moron. All right, but let me tell you something that does apply. It's called chain of command. All right, the military has a little something called chain of command. All right, and I was I can't say Nazi, but I was an insane. You really want to piss off Sergeant Spears? I mean, really? Like, take you behind the woodshed, Sergeant Spears, go over my head. I dare you. Go over my head. That'll get you behind the woodshed faster than anything, okay? Faster than anything. And here's why. Because nobody outside of your chain of command needs to know what the hell's going on inside of your chain of command. It's not their business. It's not their responsibility. And a good NCO or a good commander, a good first sergeant or sergeant major or command sergeant major, which are all high-ranking people, would, hey, my sergeant major, my commander is making me, hold on, soldier. Have you talked to your commander? Have you talked to your first sergeant? No, not yet. Then you need to get the hell out of my face, private. You need to get out. I'm not in your chain of command. Get out of my face. Guys. It's really that cut and dry. Like, it's seriously, it's that simple, it's that easy, and there are methods and reasons behind the madness and the crazy rules, okay? And I seriously, okay, so again, a communication in which the armed forces member has a reasonable evidence. This is when a protected communication for a congressman, this is the defined. A violation of law or regulation, including a law or regulation prohibiting rape, sexual assault, misconduct, and violation of the UCMJ. Gross mismanagement, gross waste of funds, abuse of authority, a specific danger to public health or safety, or any threat by another member of the armed forces or employee of the federal government that indicates a determination or intent to kill or seriously cause bodily injury to members of the armed forces or civilians or damage to military, federal, or civilian property. That's it. Okay, that's the only thing you're allowed to go outside of your chain of command for, according, this is straight off the DOW website, straight off, okay, period. If it doesn't, mismanagement of funds, waste of funds, abuse of authority, violation of law, regulation, danger to public health or safety, or is anybody going to get killed that shouldn't be getting killed? Unless it meets that right there, shut your stupid mouth. You have no reason to call up Nancy Pelosi and go, guess what my first sergeant told me to do? No, no, no. And I 1,000% agree with Johnny Marine here. Going to a different chain of command to complain is a death sentence. Not literally, but you can give your butt to Jesus because it belongs to me for right now. It belongs to me. I used to have a first sergeant used to tell us all the time, you can give your heart to Jesus, but your ass belongs to me. It's that simple. All right. The military, y'all, the military and civilian life are not the same. It's not even close. Not even in the realm of possibility is it even close. And again, this is why, okay? This is why you don't tell people outside of your chain of command what the hell you're doing, all right? And I know a lot of you guys don't remember this, but I'm going to pull up a picture right here. I talked about it yesterday. But here the moron is, all right? And it's an old, it's not a video, but it's a picture of it. I tried to find the video. I couldn't find it. So this is Geraldo, all right, who was reporting for Fox News in the middle of the Iraqi war in 03, 04 when it first got kicked off. All right, so he's literally talking to the camera, all right? And he goes, hey, pan down here, pan down here. And you see him. He's drawing in the sand saying, we're here. And we're going over here next to this building, and these are where the bad guys are, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, here comes this soldier out of nowhere, kicks his hand, kicks the dirt, starts raising nine kinds of hell, and they cut the feed. All right, that is why we do not talk to you. And he was forcibly, all right, and there's an article about it right there. All right, make this big. Okay, so this was back in 03. Primary obligation of hundreds of reporters traveling with coalition forces in Iraq is to refrain from disclosing sensitive information about military operations. The correspondent, who was temporarily accompanying the 101st, violated the rule during a live broadcast on television. He was with a military unit in the field, and the commander felt that he had compromised operational information by reporting the position and movement of troops. After the disclosure, the 101st went the process of escorting him out of the combat zone. He'll be dropped at the Kuwaiti border, says a general and official. He got kicked out of Iraq for basically being a retard. All right, but you can't really blame Geraldo because somebody in a uniform told him this. And that is why we have OPSEC. Operational security. That's why we don't talk to you. That's why we have public affairs people that we talk to them. They talk to you. They talk to you. We don't. All right. We don't. I would always say, no comment. No comment. Got home from Iraq in November. No comment. How's it going over there? It's fine. No comment. I mean, I was 19 years old. I knew better. But that's why we don't do that there. Like, that's why we don't. It's really not that difficult to understand. Like, it's just really not. So that was it for the hot seat. It is 4:13. Do not forget, ladies and gentlemen, to jump on with TJ, aka Free Castle. All right, in the description, there's a couple things down there. If you saw my story on social media, I'm really pushing this Shackley product called Vivix. Guys, I'm telling you now, you guys that struggle with inflammation, that if you wake up, I mean, and I know waking up in pain is just an old man thing, but if you struggle with inflammation like I do, link in the description that says Vivix, I'm telling you, it's for you. I am literally pain-free. The only days that I am hurting beyond, like, bear it, is when I forget to take it. Like, when I forget to take it, I know, because y'all, I've got enough metal in my body to rival Wolverine. I really do. Every time I go to an airport, TSA pops me and scans me and wands me, rubs my happy place and all that stuff to make sure that I ain't carrying. So check out Vivix. It's in the description right there. I'm telling you, you'll love it. Take it. You'll thank me later. I promise you will thank me later. But other than that, that is, guys, that's all the time I got, man. This show went by really quick. I didn't expect it to go by this fast, but here we are. Here we go. Thank you, Jersey. Whoever pressed thumbs down, your mother doesn't love you. Ain't that the truth? I'm going to get out of here. So I will be live with Graham. Probably going to be giving you bad news, I'm afraid, because I really feel like we're going to get swept today. But who knows? Anything can happen. I'll be live with Dear America on tomorrow morning. And tomorrow, guess what? Kendra will be back, whether she wants to be or not. So she will be alongside me tomorrow for Wifey Wednesday. We will have a premium where we will be answering your calls. So before we get out of here, make sure to hit that like button. Make sure to hit that repost button. Subscribe to the channel if you feel the need. Somebody in the chat said, hey, how do I get these emojis that are locked? That's how you get them. You subscribe to the channel and it opens up some emojis for you. I'm gonna create some more in the near future once I get everything set, kind of like how I like it. But I gotta say, I do love this new format. I do like using this new software. I'm having a really good time with it because I get to do a whole bunch of cool stuff, or at least stuff that I think is cool. You might not think it's cool. I do. But I hope y'all have a wonderful day. Let's pray this thing out and let's get out of here and enjoy the rest of our Tuesday, shall we? Father, we just thank you for just an amazing day, Lord. I just thank you any day that I get to spend on the earth that you spoke into existence is a good day. Father, we thank you so much for the love, the grace, and the mercy that is fresh for us every single day. But most importantly and most of all, Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this planet, made the ultimate sacrifice so that we could have a personal relationship with you. Father, be with us, lead us, guide us, direct us. If there's anybody out there that's hurting, Father, I ask that you meet those needs. If they have marital issues, you meet those needs. If they have medical issues, you meet those needs. If they have addiction issues, you meet those needs. And Father, do only what you can do. Father, we love you, we thank you, and I ask all these things in God, in your Son's name, and all God's people said, amen. Guys, I love you. I miss you. You know that I mean it. And I will see you guys bright and early tomorrow morning.